So this is session 6. It's Designed by God, Discovering Your Motivational Gift. So it says to use the motivational gift test to help discover natural ministry bends, settling our conflict with heaven. What is our conflict? It is ourself. We have met the enemy and we are them. Until we can look in the mirror and be reconciled and accept the person looking back at us, there remains a conflict with heaven and with God himself, because he is the one who made us. The conflict will go on. So Psalms 103 says, be okay with who God has made you to be. Learn to embrace and value the gifts and calling on our lives. Learn to love what God has made us to be. So physical acceptance, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, even with our defects, which is Jeremiah 1:5. We have limitations. God can and does work within our capacities. Many abilities do not draw applause. God has a purpose in his design. We must accept the unchangeable and work on what is changeable. So here's some scripture. We can go to Psalms 139:16.
All right. Psalm 139:16 reads, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed, that is, created the body of, made from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils life, the breath of life, and the man became a living being.
All right. And Job 10, your hand shaped me and made me. Will you now turn and destroy me? Remember that you molded me like clay. Will you now turn me to dust again?
This is what the Lord who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you, says, fear not, O Jacob, my servant. J-E-S-H-U-R-U-M.
Jeshuan.
Okay. So here's a list of 10 unchangeable things. You can't do anything about them because it was out of your hands. There are also biblical examples to read. So 10 unchangeable features. Our parents, which talks about it in Corinthians 1, 2, and 3. Our time in history, which is in Esther. Our facial background, which is in Galatians. Our national heritage, which is in Acts. Our gender in Genesis and Deuteronomy. Our birth order, also in Genesis, which deals with Jacob and Esau. Our brothers and sisters, which is Genesis. Our physical being, our mental abilities, and our aging and death. Those are things we can't do anything about. They're unchangeable. So unchangeable features in Christ's life. His parentage, his history, his race, his nationality, his gender, his birth order, his family, his appearance, his divine nature, and his death. All those things cannot be changed. These are all unchangeable features that Jesus had no control over, that God used to fulfill prophecy and provide us with a Messiah. So those things needed to be in play in order for Jesus to be who he was. So dealing with deficiencies, God can overcome our physical handicap. However, 2 Corinthians 12, we see the Apostle Paul wrestling with a handicap, and God did not remove it, but answered him, God's grace is sufficient, and that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And that references, he talked about a thorn in the flesh. God didn't remove that, so he had to work with it. Overcoming Satan's attacks. Satan wants to succeed at getting you to hate your body so he can keep you in conflict with heaven, consciously or subconsciously. This will create insecurity, inferiority, and grief in you and block the blessings of God from in you. He hates God, and because you are God's creation, he hates you. You also are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Michael, you want to read that one? And then Lena, you can do the 6 and 15. It says, we also are powerful weapons against Satan's kingdom.
All right. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple.
J is J-E-H-O-Z-A-D-A-K.
Jeserach.
Well, you went into captivity when the Lord sent Judah and Jerusalem into exile by the hand of
Nebuchadnezzar.
So how we overcome. We present, you present your body to God, which is Romans 12 and 1. You yield your members as servants, which is Romans 6 and 19. You discipline your body daily, which is 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. You keep your body a holy temple, 1 Corinthians 3 and 17. So steps to self-acceptance. Accepting God's unchangeable design. Receiving God's provision for your sin. Identifying with Christ's victory over sin. Allow removal of changeable hindrances. Build godly character into your life. Discover your spiritual gifting and use them. Reproduce Christ in others. So spiritual gifts. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men, which is 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one to another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's 1 Peter 4, 10, and 11. So there's seven truths. Everyone has received a gift. The gift is singular, not plural. Some are speaking gifts. Some are serving gifts. All are used for others. All gifts glorify God, and God supplies the power to exercise the gift. The divine tension to view spiritual gifts through. So we're going to read Psalms 139. So it talks about being fearfully made. And then, Lena, if you'll do Jeremiah 17.
Yep, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Okay, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is extremely sick. Who can understand it fully and know its secret motive?
Right, so we have to find balance there. Someone had posted on social media about if your spirit is lined up with God, then your heart is already there. And so he had to get corrected on social media because the Bible, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says our heart is deceitful. Mm-hmm. So I said that so that we understand that we have to put our heart in right standing with God. We have to always, it was like what Pastor preached on about judging ourselves. That's that part. Anything that comes up, because that camp, perfect example. I turned around and corrected a youth and a camper because we're having praise and worship. And they're talking. And if I'm standing by the speaker and I can hear you talking over the speaker and you're behind me, then it has to be distracting for everyone else around you, especially those that are trying to enter in and get their blessing. Okay. If you don't want it, that's fine. I'm not going to make you, because you can't make people take what God has for them. So I turn around and correct it. Well, another person saw me correct them and took it wrongly. And so then tried to correct me after that. So, you know, that heart thing, I was like, I instantly got angry, and then I started to cry, and I said, Lord, deal with my heart, because if I got angry, then, okay, so I said, Lord, if I'm wrong, I'll apologize. If I wasn't supposed to do that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, and, you know, and lead that person too. And so then everything just mellowed out and worked out. I was like, okay, thank you, Lord. But that's that part of judging myself. I had to judge myself because that person has to judge their self, you know. So, but it's all in how you take it. And I took it, it made me angry because I was like, you know, hello. But it's like, but if you don't want it, then you don't have to receive it. But I can't, but I mean, I realized what it was afterwards because God used me in a big way afterwards. So the enemy was trying to trip me up and was like, there's no me here. There's only God. I can only be submitted to Him because I'm here for a purpose, not for myself. And at first it was, I saw a picture of the bobblehead. It's funny. Big head, little spirit. I say there's ministry gifts, which are office gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, please, Mike. Oh, well, it's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's what the scripture talks about. So then there's the manifestation, which is wisdom, knowledge, discernment, healing, miracles, faith, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And then there's the motivational gifts, which are prophetic. They're teaching, serving, administration, giving, showing, mercy, and exhortation. So then there's the ministry gifts, or God working by people. The manifestation gifts are God working through people. And then the motivational gifts are God working in people. Does that make sense? So those are the things that line up under each one of those. The ministry, manifestation, and motivation. The ministry gift, which is the office. The ministry gifts should keep the other gifts. There are offices that are occupied by people with differing motivational and manifestation gifts. Using the hand as an example, the ministry gifts are fivefold. There's the apostle, which is the thumb, relates to and affects all other ministries. The prophet is the index, which points to areas of need in the church and individual lives and gives direction. The evangelist is the middle, which reaches out the furthest to reach the lost and bring them in. Number four is the pastoral, which is the ring, the most intimate with the flock, the shepherd of his sheep. And then there's the teacher, which is the little finger. It's the smallest, but keeps the whole hand balanced. Small, even small enough to get into the ear. So then we're going to move to the manifestation gifts. The believer does not possess manifestation gifts. They are the possession of the Holy Spirit. The believer is the conduit through which they are ministered at the discernment of the Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 12 and 11 speaks of these, that they're the wisdom gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discernment. Then there's the vocal gifts, which are prophecy, various tongues, and interpretation. Then there's the miracle gifts, healing, miracles, and faith. These are when they're needed. So the Holy Spirit will activate them. So you never know what's going to be there. The Holy Spirit does that. While the fivefold is intended solely within the church, manifestation gifts may operate in a variety of circumstances. Okay. Then there's the motivational gifts. First part is the prophetic, the life of the Apostle Peter. There's the need to express thoughts and ideas verbally regarding right and wrong. Acts 2 and 14, 3 and 12, 4 and 8, and 11 and 4 all talk about this. The tendency to make quick judgments and quick responses are generally reactive, can sense when something is not what it appears and reacts harshly to dishonesty. Desire to reject offenders for the cause of justice and the warning of others. Open about personal faults and failures. Honest about self and others. Impulsive and wholehearted in whatever is done. Painfully direct in correcting others. Open evidence of loyalty and total commitment. Willing to suffer for doing what is right. And persuasive in defining right and wrong. Okay, then there's serving, and it's the life of Timothy. Ability to see practical needs and desires to meet them. Enjoy serving to free others to carry out their field. Not concerned with personal health or comfort. Difficulty in saying no gets easily sidetracked. Likes providing comforts and needs for others. Desires clear instructions and appreciation for service rendered. Desire to be with other people that need service. Enjoys short-range projects. Is frustrated by long-range goals. Feels inadequate and unqualified for spiritual leadership. Okay, so then there's teaching. The life of Luke. Needs to validate truth. Validates new ideas by established systems of truth. Likes credentials. Desires truth in systematic sequence. Delights in researching and giving as many facts on a subject as possible. Emphasis on accuracy. Alert to details often missed by others. Remain silent until all details are heard. And diligent and enduring. So then there's exhorting, which is the life of Paul. Motivated to urge people to full spiritual maturity. Can discern spiritual growth level and speak on that level. Can give precise steps of action towards spiritual maturity. A desire to explain truth with logical reasoning in order to gain acceptance. Can visualize spiritual achievement and use to motivate others to action. Desires face-to-face discussions to ensure positive response. Able to identify with people of all types and backgrounds. Motivated to bring harmony between diverse groups of Christians. And welcomes personal tribulation as a motivator for spiritual growth. Okay, then there's giving, which is the life of Matthew. Keen ability to discern wise investments, desires to give quietly without public notice, gives to the Lord and his prompting, not to man's appeals, wants to give gifts of high quality, tests faithfulness and wisdom of how people handle money, content with true basics, frugal in spending, interested in what others do with their money, sees financial needs others overlook, and uses giving as a means of motivating others to give. Okay, then there's the ruling administrator, which is the life of Nehemiah. Visualize the result of major undertaking, can break down major goals into smaller projects, knows what resources are available to reach the goal, can easily avoid distractions and focus on goal, can endure reaction from others to reach an ultimate goal, needs loyalty from those being directed and being served, knows what he should and should not delegate to others, can inspire and encourage workers by cheerfulness, approval, praise, and challenge, enjoys seeing all phases of a project come together. So then there's mercy, and that's the life of John. Can sense genuine love, need for deep relationships where there is mutual commitment, reacts harshly when intimate friends are rejected, greater concern for mental and emotional concerns than physical ones, tend to attract others who are in mental or emotional distress, measures acceptance by physical closeness and time together, desires to remove the cause of hurt rather than look for the benefit from them, attracted to those with the prophetic motivation. So this is using the gift to discover the blind spots. When seeking counsel, go to these gifts for clarity on these issues. So prophet reveals motives and actions that are unrighteous. A server sees needed areas of service and attitudes of ungratefulness. A teacher explains inadequacies of statements or conclusions. Exhorter and pinpoints causes of problems and steps to solution. A giver reveal unwise use of assets. A ruler identify time misuse or bad procedure in meeting goals. And mercy share areas of insensitivity. So next part is fulfilling responsibilities. Colossians 3 and 23. Michael, will you look that up for us, please? How can responsibilities be an expression of your motivational gift?
Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters.
So there's the answer. So the next part is determining priorities. Romans 12 instructs us to concentrate on our gift. Okay, so delegating responsibilities and authority. Knowing our gift enables us to recognize the gifts others are equipped with. Delegating gives us the freedom to focus on our gifting and allows others to meet needs we are limited in. And then next part is anticipating responses. Lena, could you read Philippians 2 and 4, please?
Okay, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others.
Okay, so knowing what the motivations of others are and learning to see situations from their viewpoint will help us anticipate and understand their responses. We can then value the emphasis God is making through them. Then the next thing is identifying the body of Christ. We have a strong desire to see other Christians get the skills which we emphasize through our gift. As we learn how to share with them our motivation, we're expressing the love of Christ and the perfecting of his body. A lot of good stuff that'll help you understand a little more. And if there's something you don't understand, take it to prayer. Ask God to show you. Because I found myself saying, Lord, I need to understand the gifts that you've put into me so that I can, you know, grow them up and be able to use them and be effective.